Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Gary, thank you very much. It's John Cook with you on Drive Time until 6 o'clock this evening, broadcasting from the RTE Regional Studios in Limerick, where the chairperson of the Electoral Commission is embarking on a tour here over the next 2 days to promote awareness of the upcoming mayoral, local and European elections. While everyone's being asked to vote in the local and European elections, the June 7th vote for directly elected mayor is a historic first for Limerick City, and Justice Marie Baker is hoping to encourage as many people as possible to register to vote. She joins me on the line. Miss Justice Marie Baker, Chair of the Electoral Commission, you're very welcome to Drive Time this evening.
Thank you, John. I'm very pleased to be talking to you in Limerick, where we're heading to tomorrow morning.
And why is it so important? Because while everybody, I suppose you're encouraging them to get out there and vote in the European and local elections, there's a really unique event happening on June 7th in Limerick.
And it's important, of course, because it's the first in Ireland. This is the first time we'll have a directly elected mayor. And, you know, over the weekend, in the English elections, there were directly elected mayors being announced and the vote being counted. So people will be aware that it happens in other countries. It's a big piece of legislation. It's a big change in the way in which we elect mayors. And obviously the people of Limerick thought this was a good idea when they voted in the plebiscite to have a directly elected mayor. But it's a role that will evolve, but it is a role that in the first place is making a directly elected person the CEO effectively of Limerick City and county councils. But it also has some other roles for the development of Limerick, involving the mayor in discussion with ministers, the various ministers, in a body that will be expressly set up in order that Limerick and the further development and advancement of Limerick will be enhanced.
I think it's important to point out this wasn't just an idea by the people of Limerick, where I'm broadcasting to this evening, because I've noticed some people do say, where are they going with this idea, this new directly elected mayor? It was put to voters in Cork and Waterford as well.
It was put to voters in Cork and Waterford who said no, but Limerick said yes. So Limerick is leading the way.
And I know there's a lot of talk.
It
may be put to voters in Dublin and Galway and other cities. I think a lot of people will be watching to see what happens in Limerick.
I think they will. They will. Like, you know, it's democracy on a different scale. In fact, these elections are quite interesting because we have European elections, which is democracy on a very large scale. And then we have local elections for the councillors. But this is somewhere in the middle. This is the person who will be in charge of the council in Limerick City and County.
You get a sense.
Who's answerable in that sense.
Yeah, you get a sense from travelling around the country of how engaged voters are with any kind of elections, I suppose, coming up, and you will do. Do you think people are clear on what the directly elected mayor will do? Some people think it sounds like another chief executive for the county council and city council.
Well, in a sense, you know, the legislation says that the mayor will take some of the jobs from the CEO, but will be directly answerable to the people. You know, it's a different role, but will also be involved, as I said, in discussions with government. And expressly, there's an actual body being established of which the mayor is a member to consider and discuss how Limerick can be advanced and developed. So in a sense, Limerick has the chance to identify what the mayor can do. I mean, the mayor, in a sense, being in charge of everything in the local authority, apart from the reserved functions, which are, you know, the development plan and that kind of thing, which is long established in law. Now, it will be an interesting role, and somebody energetic who will understand the role of local authority in Limerick and will oversee it, develop it, enhance it, bring it out to the people.
Now, you're visiting everyone from secondary school students to the Chamber of Commerce to traveller men and women in Limerick, among various events and engagements.
Migrant
in the coming
group,
days.
Secondary school students,
university students,
we've a huge programme of work.
I'm sure you'll get a sense of how engaged voters are. Are you getting any of that already as we head into the local and European elections?
A bit. I mean, what I think is interesting is that people are already. I did some local radio interviews last week, and people are already saying, "Oh, we don't know who the candidates are in our local councillors." And in fact, that's the case, because the date for the closing of the list of candidates isn't until the week after next. The 18th of May is the closing date. So, of course, the list is not ready. I think people in Ireland see that the local authority has a lot of power. You know, they are the housing authority, the planning authority, the environmental authority. I mean, they're the big jobs, but they also provide smaller things, you might say, but very important in day-to-day lives, like libraries and parks and that kind of thing. So they're hugely important.
There'll be lots more to come on that. Can I ask you, Ms. Justice Baker, about the recent referendums on family and care? They were very much defeated emphatically. Are you satisfied that the Electoral Commission did its job in terms of people actually knowing what the referendums were about and the issues they were voting on?
Our job was twofold. It was, first of all, to encourage people to register, which is what I'm here to say to you as well, and we'll come back to it. But then it was to encourage people to register, to vote, and to know what the referendums were about, the two referendums. You know, all of the dire warnings were that the vote, the electorate would only turn out at somewhere around 27, 28, 29%, and it was 44.4, if I remember correctly. So actually, we were pleased. We thought our profile was good. We thought people generally believed, in fact, I heard no criticism otherwise, that we were objective, impartial, and that we were energetic. We were everywhere. I did 58 events. So that is a lot of work.
Okay.
People did know, I believe, what the referendum was about. Whether they agreed with the wording is something that's not, wasn't our job to persuade them.
Okay, well, we saw they did not, a majority did not agree
did
with those
not,
in the end.
No.
Can I ask you, the Attorney General's advice to government on the referendums was published on the day before voting during the broadcast moratorium. And for listeners, just so we talk about this a lot, people like myself in RTE or my colleagues in local radio, where we will be told not to speak about the election issues or a referendum issue from 2 o'clock
correct,
on the day before voting. What do you think about the broadcast moratorium, this ban that continues? Because there's no such ban on newspapers, no such ban on social media.
Yeah, and in fact, you might remind listeners that the Attorney General's advice was published on one of the social media platforms. In fact, I don't remember which one, but it was probably on X, was it? But the moratorium doesn't apply to social media, as you say. The Electoral Commission thinks that there has at least to be a discussion now as to the moratorium.
Does they're going
the
to review it, but not in time for this these local and European elections. Do you have a view on the broadcast moratorium?
We think it's becoming problematic because of social media, and we do think that social media is very influential in elections. Part of our campaign, our information campaign, is in fact to say to people, make sure when you get your information from social media, make sure you know where it comes from. What's the source? Are you sure this is true? How reliable is it? Make sure that you're looking at things critically, because the newspapers and programmes like yours, you are critical in the sense that you're asking the questions, but nobody actually asks the question when you're looking at a social media post. You know, you're looking at it on your own, usually without talking to anybody about it.
I'm out of time for now, but it's where we have to leave it. And people are going to find out lots more across Limerick in the coming days from you, Ms. Justice Marie Baker, Chair of the Electoral Commission. Get registered to vote is what you would ask people finally and briefly.
The 11th of May for postal votes. The 20th of May is the last day to register. So there's plenty of time. Check the register.ie or your local authority site, and you have until the 20th of May to register. You can't vote if you're not registered. You know that. We all know that. But it's an important message.
We still like to give out about it. But as you say, have your say if you want to give out about things and be heard that way by voting and registering. Ms. Justice Marie Baker, Chair of the Electoral Commission, thank you. Back shortly.